Do you ever wonder what people are really thinking about you? It's so easy to get lost in those negative thoughts that enter our minds. Thoughts like, I'll never be good enough. I'm not smart enough. My life doesn't matter. I hate the way I look. I just can't do it all. I will always be miserable. God just doesn't care about me. He's forgotten about me. Why me? Why me? Why me? Well, Proverbs 23, verse 7 in the King James Version says this, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. It really is the thought that counts. Many of life's battles are either won or lost right here in the mind. For many of us in this room, there can be a point in our lives where we called upon the name of Jesus to come and rescue our tortured souls, and at that moment, we experienced an overwhelming, never-ending, reckless, relentless love of God. And from that moment on, there was a transformation that took place, and we became spiritually alive inside. Jesus calls this experience about being born again in John chapter 3, verse 3. But something else happened when we decided to follow Jesus. And many of you can remember that you gave your life to Jesus Christ, and maybe there would have been this complete euphoria at some point, and you were like feeling good. But then there was something else that started to take place. There started to be kind of this inward battle. A spiritual battle, if you will. And Paul, a first century follower of Jesus, as I mentioned before, wasn't always a Christian, but when he met Jesus, he turned his life right around, right? He wrote, and this man, Paul, he went on to write half of the New Testament, and he explains it this way about this inward battle in Romans chapter 7. Beginning at verse 15, and then we'll jump up to verse 21 to 24. And it says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. In verse 21, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Verse 22, for in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. Verse 24, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? The things I want to do, I don't do them. And the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. Paul is describing a common inward battle between the sinful nature. Now, the sinful nature is described as a fleshly, earthly nature, a very nature that all humanity inherited from our ancestors, Adam and Eve, when sin entered the world. And it's that battle against our new nature, a spiritual nature that God placed within us, his Holy Spirit, after we made Jesus Christ Lord over our life. And it's an inward battle of good versus evil. And Paul goes on to say in verse 8, beginning at verse 5, he says, those who have lived according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And so there's a battle that rages in the mind. The mind decides who it will follow, and whether it be the flesh or the spirit. But here's the problem. So many of us, we're losing this battle because our minds have been polluted with toxic thoughts and lies. Today, we're beginning a new series, and the new series is called Toxic. Before we dive right in, I want to give you a working title that's going to be good for a working definition that will kind of carry with us through this series. Toxic is anything containing poisonous material capable of causing sickness or even death. The sad truth is many people are being silently poisoned by all sorts of toxic things in this world. This morning, we're going to look specifically hone in on toxic thoughts. Because of the Bell Let's Talk Mental Health that was on January 31st, I figured that this would be a great place to start in this series. And I don't know about you, but for me, there have been negative thoughts that have burned in on the hard drive of my mind that continue to play over and over and over again, whether it was something I said or something I did that was embarrassing or something that I regretted over time or second-guessing myself on a decision that I made, calling myself down and feeling like a complete fool or idiot. And these negative thoughts I have had about myself would go on repeat in my mind, and I would love to stand here and tell you this morning that I am victorious over every thought that comes over me, but I would say that I have not. There are times where those thoughts do seem to wreak havoc in my life. Yes, even your pastor struggles. But God has placed wonderful people in my life. I am blessed to have a wife that reminds me of God's truth, and she speaks it into my life. And the Bible is jam-packed full of truth that needs to be declared, proclaimed, spoken into our lives. It has the power to transform us. The Bible is not just some book. We believe it is the living Word of God. And when we replace the lies with the truth, we become who God wants us to be. We become the head, not the tail, above not beneath. Or as I'm constantly reminded by the sign in my office, I'm not here to be average, I'm here to be awesome. The bottom line is this: if you think negative thoughts, you will become a negative person. If you think godly thoughts, you will become more like Christ. Turn to someone and tell them it's the thought that counts. Now let's say it all together in one voice. It's the thought that counts. Now I'm going to give you two things we need to apply when dealing with toxic thoughts. Number one is identify and reject toxic thoughts. Now you've got to be able to identify and then reject, right? Identifying any thought that is inconsistent with God's truth and reject those lies trying to seep into your life. In the contemporary English version of the Bible, it says this in Proverbs 4:23, "Carefully guard your thoughts because they are the source of true life." Other versions say, "Guard your heart." As a person thinks in his heart, so is he. We are to guard our hearts and our minds. Whenever something that is inconsistent with God's truth tries to infiltrate our hearts and our minds, we need to identify and then reject. Paul, in 2 Corinthians, at the beginning of verse 4, he says, "The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world." There is a battle raging within us, the battle of spirit versus flesh. And we don't fight with worldly weapons. We don't fight with guns or knives or clubs or spears or swords or pepper spray. Instead, we fight with spiritual weaponry. And what does Paul say about these spiritual weapons? He continues on, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power." They have divine power. Now, the Greek word for power, oh, you're going to just love this word. It's dunamis. Dunamis, right? And it's from this word dunamis that we get the word dynamite, right? And dunamis, I don't know about you, but I just like saying the word dunamis. Dunamis. Come on, say it with me. Dunamis. Tell somebody beside you, dunamis, right? Dunamis. Dunamis is this. It's the explosive power of God. Explosive power of God. I love the Greek language. You might wonder why I translate these into Greek. Well, the very fact is that the Bible was originally written in Greek, right? And we've tried to transpose it into English, and sometimes things get lost in translation. And I just love the word dunamis. Dunamis, right? Our spiritual weapons, they have divine what? Dunamis, right?
In 2 Corinthians, continuing on in verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to what? Demolish. Say it again. Demolish strongholds. The word stronghold, when translated over to the Greek, is akourama. Akourama, right, is one of the oldest words in the New Testament, originally used to describe a fortress or a castle or a citadel. Ancient fortresses had exceptionally thick, very high, impregnable walls that were designed to keep outsiders from scaling the walls and from breaking inside. Such walls were intended to keep intruders out. But by the time of the New Testament, the word akourama also came to be the very same Greek word used to describe a prison. Since the most secure, highly guarded prisons were usually constructed deep inside such fortresses, it makes sense that the word for fortress or stronghold is the same identical Greek word used to picture a prison. A fortress keeps outsiders from getting in, but a prison keeps insiders from getting out. With fortified walls and bars of steel, they were designed to hold prisoners in captivity. So many people today are not becoming who God wants them to be because they're locked up in an akourama, a prison of deception and lies, buying into a lie about themselves that could not be further from the truth. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing perfect people that they weren't perfect. You ever thought of that? I mean, Adam and Eve, here they are in the garden. They're perfect. Perfect as any created being could be. Fashioned and forged in the image of God. Can't be God himself, but the Psalms say that when you look at it in the Hebrew, in the original text it was written, it says that we are created not a little under the angels. That translation gets lost. We're created a little under Elohim, which is God. Right? Elohim is God, is another name for you, which means we're created a little. Why? Because we can't be equal to God, right? For God is God. But the devil came in and started hanging on question marks on everything that God ever said, right? Hanging question marks and saying, God didn't really say that. He didn't really say that. No. He didn't say that. He didn't really mean that. The greatest trick he ever pulled was convincing perfect people that they were lacking perfection. And since the Garden of Eden, the devil has been messing with the minds of people, locking people up in an akourama. But here's the good news. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish what? Strongholds. Akouramas. Come on, is there somebody getting a little excited that God has given us the dunamis to demolish all The dunamis to demolish all akouramas. Are you not a little excited that God has given you the dunamis, right? He's given you the dunamis, right? Well, but wait, we're not done yet. We're not by a long shot. Get a load of this, because Paul is about to get his preach on in the next verse. He says in verse 5, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. Bell Canada, you want to talk about mental health? That's great. I'm on board. But let's not stop there. Let's tap into the one who created our minds, who knit us together in our mother's womb, who fearfully and wonderfully made us. That's right. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one and only true living God, the one who sent us his one and only son, Jesus, to save all humanity. Let's take our cues from him. Because we can take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Come on, church, it's time to let's talk. Let's talk to the one who makes us more than conquerors. Let's talk to the one who gave us victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. Let's talk to the one who came and gave us life and life more abundantly. Let's talk, church. Let's talk. Let's talk. What is his name? His name is above every name. His name is timeless. His name was given to Moses when he was given the instruction to go and lead the people out of Israel. What's his name? I am. It's timeless. I am. His name is I am. Oh, the amen section up here is so glad they didn't come this morning because there's a lot of spit flowing here. That's just the flow, baby. When you got the Holy Spirit in you, it just flows. His name is I am. So when those negative thoughts plague your mind, you're no good, you're a failure, you're a loser, nobody will love you, you'll never amount to anything, everybody hates you, nobody likes you, you're a pathetic waste of time. Those thoughts try to put you in an akurama. Got to identify for what it is, a lie, and then reject it. With the dunamis God has given you through Christ by taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. Amen? I want to give you a little exercise that I learned from one of my favorite preachers, Pastor Greg Crochelle. And this is what he said to help identify areas that you know, we're prone to dwell on toxic thoughts. And my prayer is for you that the Holy Spirit will remind you of this every time toxic thoughts try to infiltrate your mind. They're broken down into four very simple categories so that we can identify those areas in which we're vulnerable. But before I get there, I got to take a sip of water. I'm sorry, I get getting a little dry here. I don't know what it is about this pulpit. Jesse, what did you do last week, man? I just feeling the anointing here this morning. First one is negative thoughts, right? Negative thoughts are like recordings that are on repeat in our minds. You may hear 10 positive things about yourself from others, but you buy into the belief system of that one negative remark that someone makes. You hear the phrase, you're your own worst critic. Well, when battling negative thoughts, you believe you're the poster child of that phrase. Some here today, that's your battle, negative thoughts. So right now, if that's you, lay those toxic negative thoughts down. They are not yours to own, and they're not to keep you in an akurama any longer. Take every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Number two, fearful thoughts. There's so much going on in our world today that it's so easy to get overwhelmed with worry, fear, and anxiety. Fear of offending others because we're not using the properly politically correct words, right? The fear of struggling economy. The fear of your next doctor's appointment. Fear of not having enough money to pay the bills and put grocery on the table or get the repairs done on your vehicle. Fear of your marriage falling apart. Fear of your children making choices that will affect the rest of their lives. Fear of what tomorrow brings. Fear of the unknown. Those fearful thoughts, maybe yours is the fear of mankind, fear of others and what others think of you. Those fearful thoughts are not yours to own. They're not to keep you captive in an akurama any longer. Take every thought to make it obedient to Christ, right? The next one is discontented thoughts. If you battle with insecurity, these thoughts can really wreak havoc in your life. Discontent can lead to depression and other dark places and spaces. Discontent can also put a wedge in relationships. Marriage vows used to be till death do us part, but now it's more like if my needs aren't fulfilled, it's time to move on to the next person, right? I'm 40, I might as well trade my wife in for 220s. Bad joke. You weren't wired that way. You were only wired for 40 amp power. Right? But get this. In an article that was published online in 2012, Professor Bradley Wright, a sociologist at the University of Connecticut, explains from this analysis of people who identify as Christians but rarely attend church that 60% of these have been divorced. Of those who attend church regularly, 38% have been divorced. That was in 2012. That was 6 years ago. It's climbing, people. Discontented thoughts are killing relationships and destroying families. Discontent is causing people to end their lives in suicide, thinking that that's the only way. Discontent is a tool of the enemy, the devil, and he will use whatever he can against you if discontent is where you're vulnerable. Don't own those thoughts any longer. Those toxic thoughts don't have to keep you captive another day in an akurama. Take every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And the last one here is critical thoughts. There could be so many positives about something, someone, or some event, but you have the ability to see everything that's wrong with it. No, that's not a spiritual gift. Your critique, you critique everything to the tiniest of details. Now, for us A-type personalities, we really struggle in this area. We like to write it off as being a realist, but that's not the truth. The unfortunate thing is about critical thoughts plaguing our mind is that we tend to overlook that which is positive. Critical thoughts can suck the joy right out of us. Critical thoughts can lead us to disunity in relationships in the workplace and even at church. Now, don't confuse this critical thinking when trying to make something better. There is a time and a place and a space for such things. But when criticism tears other people down and disrupts the work of God and the furtherance of the kingdom, it needs to be dealt with. If critical thoughts is plaguing your mind, they don't have to keep you captive any longer in an akurama. Take every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The battle in the spirit world is often going to be won or lost in our minds. The second thing, as I told you, there was two things we're going to do after we have identified and rejected these toxic thoughts, we are to replace with God's truth. Replace with God's truth. Why? Because his truth stands the test of time. And it will set you free, set you free, set you free, right? So as the Holy Spirit that brings to mind any of these four areas you're prone to toxic thoughts, stop and identify and reject, and then replace it with the right thoughts, those thoughts that God speaks over you and has spoken in his word. Replace them with God's truth. And his Bible, it's more than just a book. It's life. It's teeming with life. It's not something you just read from cover to cover. It's something that transforms you and changes you inside. I love what Paul writes to the church in Philippi. Remember Paul, you know, the guy who wrote nearly half the New Testament? That's why I tend to quote him a lot. All right, here's what he wrote to the church in Philippi in Philippians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. He says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Will guard them in Christ Jesus. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Think about them. Meditate on them. Live by them. Whatever is pure, think about it. Whatever is lovely, think about it. Whatever is noble, think about it. Meditate on it and let it infuse your mind and change your heart. By doing this, leaves no room for toxic, negative, fearful, discontented, critical thoughts that you don't have to fear anymore about worry and the critical nature of being discontented. Whatever is right and pure and lovely and admirable, you meditate on such things. As you do, the word of God will start to renew your mind, and you will become a different person. That's what it means by you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. Paul further writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." When the recordings of the past play, wipe them clean by allowing God's word to make your mind better than new. Control, Alt, Delete. Replace the lies with truth and believe that God's dunamis will demolish all akuramas because it's the thought that counts. Your thoughts matter. Next week, we're going to be talking about toxic influences. Oh, you're not going to want to miss this series at all. I'm just telling you, I'm so excited, stoked, and even provoked that this is going to be one of the best series yet of the new year of 2019. Yeah, it's you don't want to miss next week. It's going to be a real doozy. So make sure you bring somebody. Yeah, it'll be online, but it's not as quite as animated online. You don't kind of get the flow of it. That's right. Let the Holy Ghost showers begin. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet? Why don't you stand to your feet? Bring the toxicity into the room, and we'll let the Holy Spirit wipe them clean. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit wipe them clean. All right. As the worship team comes and leads us in one final song here, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you, Lord, for your dunamis power. We thank you, Lord, that you came to break all akuramas. And so, God, we give you praise and we give you glory. We know that we serve a God who is capable of doing immeasurably more than we could ever comprehend or imagine. So, Lord God, for those who have been battling in mental health, Lord, I pray today that they would receive your dunamis. Lord, that they would read your word and be encouraged by it, be strengthened by it, Lord, and not give in to the lies of the enemy, Father. Lord, as he tries to manipulate our feelings and manipulate our minds, Lord, I pray that we would stick by what we believe, Lord, and that you would guide us, Lord, in Jesus' name.